Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our Gospel lesson, Mark 9, verses 30 to 37. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, some years back I was having a conversation with a fellow. We were talking about work, and he said, remember, there's no job that is beneath you. There's no job that's beneath you. Those words have stuck with me over the years since I heard him say that, especially, I think, because the man who said them actually lived what he said. There's no job that's beneath you. Last Sunday, our second lesson came to us in the book of James, just like this Sunday's actually does, but it was earlier in chapter 3 of James, and there were these words. James said, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Apparently, many of the people that James was writing to were wanting to be teachers, teachers of God's Word. Teachers of God's Word, they wanted to instruct people. They wanted to be counselors to their fellow members. They wanted to help them with wise insights into God's holy Word. And maybe they also wanted to be looked to be recognized, to be mentors to others, to be leaders, to be revered leaders in God's church. And if you think about it for a moment, you can understand it, because most early Christians were people of no consequence. At most, little shopkeepers, or many of them were slaves. People with no prospects in this world, or especially in that world, in that time period. And that's what they were in the outside world. But when they came into the church, all of a sudden what happens? You're somebody. You are an elder. You are a deacon, or you are a deaconess. You are a widow, which was actually a title and a position in the early Christian church. It was older women who did social and care ministries, who looked out for the sick people and the infirm, and those who were very poor. They called them widows. And so Ephesians chapter 4. And the Lord gave some to be the apostles, some to be the prophets, some to be the evangelists, some to be the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those are some impressive words there. And those are some pretty impressive titles. Pretty grand titles, if you think about it for a moment. You're an apostle, which means you're a sent one, sent by God with a mission. You're a prophet. That means you're a truth teller. You're an evangelist. You're a bearer of good news, the good news of Jesus. You're a pastor. You're a shepherd of God's flock. And of course, you're a teacher, someone who instructs or counsels or advises others in the things of God. Those are some pretty grand titles for people who in the outside world are looked upon as next to nothing. And maybe right there, at that point, you can sense the trouble coming. You can begin to sense that you're starting to skate on thin ice. St. Paul talks about it in Book of Romans, chapter 2. This is what he says. He says, if you rely on the law or the word of God and you boast in God and you know his will and you approve what's excellent because you're instructed from God's word, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law of God the embodiment of knowledge and truth, well, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You say you shouldn't commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? You say that you abhor idols, but do you rob temples? You boast about the word of God, but do you dishonor God by breaking it? And so, the words from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers of God's word, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And then today's lesson. So, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. The Lord is not saying there that nobody should teach his word. What he's saying is something for every single one of us, and that is that when it comes to the things of God, your life makes a better teacher than your mouth. Your life, the way that you live, is a better teacher than your mouth. Verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast. Don't be false to the truth. This isn't the wisdom that comes down from above, from God, but it's earthly, it's unspiritual, it's demonic, it comes from below. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Jealousy and selfish ambition, and he's talking to the church of God. Jealousy and selfish ambition. And if you think about it for a moment, look around you. What is there to be jealous of? What is there to be jealous of? If somebody else has something that maybe you don't have, well, the good Lord gave it to him. And so what do you say? That was God's decision. That was God's will. That was God's doing. That was God's plan. Praise the Lord. It was God's work, and it was a good thing. What do you have to be jealous about? And in the kingdom of God, in God's church, what is there to be selfishly ambitious about? Are positions in God's church such exalted honors that you just have to have them, that you have to acquire them? Is the church such a big prize that you just have to make it your own as if it's your own possession, that you have to be significant, that you have to be important, that you have to be somebody? And if it is such a big prize, and it is so rich and so great and so famous and so powerful, then ask yourself the question, is it still the church? Or is it still the church of the one who had no place to lay his head? Or have we gone adrift? And so you come to the gospel lesson for today, and Jesus' disciples, the ones that he handpicked after a night in prayer with his heavenly Father, Jesus' disciples are debating and contending with one another over what? Who's the greatest? Sounds like Muhammad Ali, right? Who's the greatest? Who's the best? Who deserves the greatest honors? Who did the most for the Lord? Who deserves the best seat in the Lord's kingdom? And what does the Lord have to do? He says, I got to stop this one, and I got to stop it cold. There's a weed sprouting up in God's church, and we got to pull this one out before it gets any bigger. Years back, I was at seminary, a long time ago now, was back at seminary, and I had a friend who lived up in Washington, and we were writing back and forth. And, yeah, that's what we did back then. We were writing back and forth, and my friend said, we've got a bunch of tansy ragwort growing on our property. And I wrote back and I said, what's tansy ragwort? And about a week later, I got an envelope in the mail, and it was stuffed full of tansy ragwort, which is kind of a daisy sort of looking plant. But I got this package, and I showed it to my friend down the hall who was going to seminary with me. He was actually from up in Woodburn, grew up on a farm there. And I said, take a look at this. And he said, I'm taking a look at it. Now you get rid of that right now. He said, because tansy ragwort kills cows. That's what it does. You get rid of it. He was a lighthearted guy, but he became very serious at that moment. He grew up on the farm. Now, if you use the internet, which is what we do nowadays, you could look it up and you could find this about tansy ragwort. This plant is on the prohibited plants list, also known as the quarantine list. It is prohibited to transport, buy, sell, offer for sale, or distribute plants or plant parts of quarantine species into or within the state of Washington or Oregon, or to sell, offer for sale, distribute seed packets of seed, flower seed blends, or wildflower mixes. What did my friend say? Get rid of it. That thing kills cows. Get rid of it. And so, Jesus' disciples, jealousy and selfish ambition. And what does our Lord do? He pulls up the weed. He says, this is what we're talking about? This is what we're about? This isn't the wisdom that comes down from above. Matthew chapter 15, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. This one here, fellas, is a weed. Brothers, sisters, this is earthly. It comes from this sinful, fallen world. It's unspiritual. It doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. It's demonic. It's been planted by the evil one. Because where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. You can guarantee it. It will happen. You've probably seen it too. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above that comes from the Lord is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so Jesus says what? You want to know what the kingdom of God looks like? We're done with the weed here. Let's get rid of it. We're done with that now. Selfish ambition and jealousy. What does the kingdom of God look like? And he looks at a little child and he says, you see this kid over here? You see this little one? Now, do you want to be a big deal in God's church? You want to be a big shot in the kingdom of God? Be good to that kid. There you go. There's your job. Or that tedious person over there. Take the time to listen to them. That slow person, take the time to talk to them. That hostile person, maybe you can't talk to them, but you can pray for them. Whatever you do for such a one in my name, you do for me. And what you have done for me, you've done for your heavenly Father. Or he who receives them receives me, and whoever receives me receives my Father who is in heaven. There's a progression there. See this little thing over here? You think that's small? No. Be a blessing there. You've received them. And in so doing, you receive me, and in so receiving me, you received my Father who is in heaven. Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it what? Unto me. Look at that. I guess there is no job that's beneath you, because there was no job that was beneath him, because after all, he came looking for you. And in order to find you, how low did he have to go? He had to go all the way to the bottom, all the way to the cross, dead on a cross. Have this mind among yourselves, Philippians 2, which is yours in Christ Jesus. He was in very nature God, but he didn't hold on to that. He made himself nothing. He was found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, shedding his blood so you could have pardon and you could have a good future for everlasting life. I guess no job was beneath him. No job was beneath him, and he didn't just say it. You look at the cross and you realize that he lived it. It's like the words of the old hymn, Jesus is the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. It's music in the sinner's ears. It's life and health and peace. There's gratitude in those words. Gratitude that no job was beneath your Lord. He died for you. He saved you. He came looking for you. How low did he go? How low can you go? Because no job's beneath you, not in God's kingdom. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.